Paulo Jr. Hustling back is Zebby, and Paulo Jr. skips over top of him. Now he puts the cross in. Right-footed shot, and it's 1-0 Ottawa! Sanisha Ubi-Paripovic! 23rd minute. What work by Paulo Jr. down the left, and Fury take the lead. Here's Richter down the right with the cross. Comes back, Ubi-Paripovic, right-footed shot, that's blocked. Ubi-Paripovic again. Oh! Brilliant strike from Sinisha. Ubi-Paripovic, is that the goal to put Ottawa into the postseason? 72nd minute, 2-0 Ottawa Fury FC.
Welcome to episode 55 of Ours is the Fury. With me today is...
Tim.
That's right. And your host, John. And no Ryan or Kendra this week, which, you know, wouldn't be a problem content-wise, because we can speak about Ottawa Fury all day at night, but it could be a problem when it comes to the technological aspects involved in podcast production. So if there's a couple things out of the ordinary in this episode, that's because Blocksmith and I have no idea what we're doing.
None whatsoever.
And we already spent
it. We took half an hour to get this far.
So enjoy the show, guys. All right, so let's go right into the match.
We should say that the clip before was AJ Jakubek on TSN 1200 calling both goals in the Minnesota game.
Yeah, and what a moment, especially that first goal was. But we'll get to that. So we played against FC Edmonton in front of, or what was it, like 6,000 something?
60-50.
Okay, well, at least we cracked that 6,000 mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was against our Canadian cousins, FC Edmonton. It was a very important game for them because they're still in playoff contention. But we beat them 2-0. Yep. Which means we are definitely in the postseason of the NASL.
Woohoo! Nice to do it at home, even against Edmonton, even though they're not, I wouldn't consider a rival.
No, because we kind of like them.
Yeah.
Which is like the opposite of a rival. But yeah, so let's go into the lineup here. Trafford on the left, Richter on the right. Can you guess our two center backs?
Falvez, or Falvey and Alves?
Yep, Pizer the wall and goal. Richie Ryan as our holding midfielder. Drew Becky was starting because Mauro is still away with the Olympic qualifying team. They're currently hoping to get Canada qualified for the Olympics. They lost their first game against the U.S. I think it was 3-1 in the end.
Yep.
But then they won their second game against Panama.
Also 3-1, I believe.
Yeah, I missed that one. I totally didn't have that game on my radar for some reason. It was like... at like noon on Saturday or something.
Yeah, it was a weird time.
I was like in Perth when I found out. I'm like, oh, shit. Anyway, Ubi-Paripovic also played, which becomes more important in just a little bit.
Yep.
Tommy Heinemann up front, Paulo Jr. on the left, and Wiedemann got a start again on the right. So, yeah, the game was fairly entertaining, I thought.
Yeah, it was a lot of back and forth. Mm-hmm. Referee was kind of letting stuff go.
Which is kind of nice, but yeah. Some scenes I was like, whoa, that's not a foul.
I don't think he had full control of the game, but he seemed fair. Like, he didn't call one team over the other.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Edmonton only really became dangerous after free kicks. Like, besides that post shot that came...
right at the end.
Yeah, other than that, it was all really just free kicks, their chances.
Yeah. Ubi scored, which was a really nice goal from Paulo Jr. Had his great run.
Oh, yeah. That moment where he's, like, at the left, the very left corner, and he just sort of dinks the ball a little bit further, and it looks like it's going to go out because of the football lines, but it's actually not out because there's another line behind the big fat line. And yeah, like, he totally makes FC Edmonton defender. I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was Eddie Edwards. It was... another defender of FC Edmonton. And yeah, and then Junior just put it into the middle, and Ubi was completely open and just coolly slotted it home in the bottom right corner.
Yeah, crowd went crazy. And what shouldn't be overlooked is the pass that Tommy Heinemann made to Paulo initially to start that off.
It's really
nice.
Yeah, that's
and Paulo was just crazy, as he has been for the last, you know, three or four games for the Fury. Which is kind of the Paolo we were expecting when we signed him in the offseason.
Absolutely. And then that second goal from Ubi was... he had a shot that like someone blocked.
Yeah, and it bounced back. It was Eddie Edwards, yeah.
This time it was Eddie Edwards, yeah. And for some reason, Ubi managed to control the rebound. I don't even know how he did that. And then he just... like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just, like, perfect finish at the top of the box. Keeper couldn't do anything. When was that second goal scored?
It was in the 72nd minute.
All right, yeah. What's up with the Fury always playing, like, away from the fans in the second half?
I don't know.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm like, you know, you figure a few times over the course of the season, but it seems like every time they do that. I don't know if it's because of the sun in the second half or the wind. I don't know. But it's kind of, I wouldn't say frustrating, but it's a little curious.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And, I think for the most part, Fury had control of the game. I think they let up initially after they first scored. And Edmonton was able to take it, play to them, but I think the Fury controlled it.
Absolutely. What else was there? Well, there was, as I already casually mentioned, there were football lines, which, some people got annoyed with. Chris Hoffley was saying on Twitter, you know, your team just qualified for the playoffs. Like, who cares about football lines? Yeah, it's kind of true, but we knew we were going to qualify it for the playoffs at this point. So, you know, we're still going to complain about these things. Cause, you know, we're football purists. We don't want football lines.
They're ugly.
Yeah, and the club has said, you know, the one time that we had them, but that would be the only time that we would have them. And now we have them again, and probably won't be the last time.
Richie Ryan actually came out last night and tweeted that he hates playing on it, which I'm sure they all do. It must be super frustrating.
Well, it's even worse on TV, right? Like, when you're watching it, it's just disgusting.
Yeah, down in the stands watching it, it's fine. But...
yeah, Richie Ryan had a really good match, too. He made that... new signing Correa looked really, really bad.
Just stuffed him in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Like, I could definitely see what the Loyal Company podcast were talking about, that we would notice him, but I did notice him. And he's very shifty on the ball, but yeah, I thought the Fury and especially Richie Ryan shut him down pretty well.
Absolutely. Yeah, Edmonton never really looked that threatening in this game. I mean, that's a club that we've had our troubles with in the past. I mean, last year, Edmonton, I think they had a better record against us. I'm pretty sure that we only beat them once last year, if I remember, because we tied them in the V Cup. They beat us, and then...
we beat them at home. Was like the last game at Carlton, I think.
And then the day of the World Cup final, we tied them 0-0.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that brings us for this season 2 wins and 1 loss in the league. But
2 losses against them in the V Cup.
Yeah.
Pretty substantial losses, 3-1 both of them.
But all time, that's what?
It's 3 wins, 2 losses, and a draw. 3 losses, or 3 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws, including the V Cup.
So we've never beat them in the V Cup still. Next year.
Yes, definitely next year.
Anyway, though, what I was getting at was that in this match, just like in the Carolina game, like, I always knew we were going to win. Like, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, I was a little concerned that it might end up like a 0-0 when it first started. But it was quickly dashed by that first goal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've just been on a tear recently, like 4 games to go. Yeah.
It's just cool that, you know, Ottawa makes the playoffs before TFC does.
It took them 9 years. It's also great. We talk to fans of our show, which is weird to say. But we tell them, I was like, oh, it's so much better this year. Because last year we're like, oh, the team sucks. We lost again.
Yeah, but now it's almost like I have nothing critical to talk about anymore. Everything's great. Except for the fact that, Mark DeSantis is leaving.
That's true.
Other than that, all good. Yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps the game. There weren't too many incidents that we need to talk about. Some smoke in the section, which is great to see.
A little red smoke, a little white smoke.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a break. And then we'll give you some Ottawa Fury-related news. We'll talk a little bit about the academy and the general NASL stuff. All right, welcome back, guys. You may have noticed that there was no advertisement or a jingle there. We gave it a try, but we couldn't figure it out.
We gave it the old college try. As in, it took us 4 years to do it, and we couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. So what we do want you to do is rate us on iTunes. So there's 6 people that have rated us on iTunes now.
Thank you, 6 people.
Yes, and one of them even left a review that we read, I think, in the last podcast.
And if you leave one, we'll read it, too.
Yep. Think of a word, Tim.
Brings.
Excuse me?
Brings.
Brings.
Yeah.
Like, as in, like, to bring something?
Yeah.
Okay, can you please use the word brings in your next iTunes review? Oh, God. All right. let's talk about the Academy team, who actually did much better than we do today in our podcast. They beat FC Gatineau 5-2. Tim, what happened there?
In Gatineau? 5-2, yeah, pretty, I wouldn't say shocking result, but a result you wouldn't expect. Mohamed Dednogo, who spent some time with the first team, didn't play any minutes with the first team, unfortunately, but he had 2 goals. Dario Conte, Adam Malekos, Imad Huash, both had a goal, and it actually leapfrogs the Fury out of last place. They're no longer in last place. L'Assomption is now last place. And we're tied with Gatineau for second last place.
So does the Borthwick Cup go to the Ottawa Fury this year, technically?
Yeah, I don't think they did that this year.
Oh, okay.
I think we were trying that, and we couldn't get all parties involved. So maybe it's something next year to look at. But for this year, no.
Anyway, that's a great result out of nowhere. I didn't think that they're going to destroy them that much.
And I didn't see how the juniors did, but if you want to go see the seniors, I'm not sure if this is their last home match or not, but next Saturday, October 10th at 3 p.m. at Algonquin, go down, check it out, it's free.
And the champion of the PLSQ is already decided, right?
Yeah, it was decided pretty early. Mont-Royal Outremont clinched the PLSQ 2015 title pretty early. So, you know, congrats to them.
Absolutely. So it's great to see things are moving up there in the academy. So it's only going to get better, just like the pro team. Speaking of the pro team, we had some news. Mason Trafford signed a contract extension through 2017, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great news.
He's a versatile player that last year played every single game, basically, I think it was, a center back. Mm-hmm. And now he's playing as a left back. So yeah, it's great to have him. He's Canadian. I think it's just a matter of time that someone like Floro might notice him. I read some stuff on Twitter, some people saying, like, why are we giving out contract extensions? We're going to have a new head coach. Like, I think that's total BS. Like, it's always the management, the club, the sporting director that deals with these kind of things, and not the coach. Like, why wouldn't you try to keep players that perform well here just because we're having a coaching change?
Yeah, I understand, but I don't think they have. I think Mark DeSantos fills that role, both those roles, the head coach and the sporting director, GM, however you want to call it. But, like, Mason Trafford's Canadian. He's been absolutely nails this year. I think any coach would love to have him on here. I think it's when you get to players kind of on the cusp who don't play a lot that you might not want to make decisions on until the new coach comes in, but nice to see Mason Trafford sign for another couple of years and that they expect to play for another couple of years.
Yeah. Another Canadian we hope to sign to a longer contract is Mauro Eustachio, who's currently with the Canadian Olympic qualifying squad, as we mentioned earlier in this episode, along with Hansen Boakai of FC Edmonton. He was the other Canadian from the NASL that made that U23 squad for Canada. Yeah, I guess they lost 2-0 to the States, not 3-1 like we previously mentioned, eh?
Oh, it was 3-1.
Was it?
Yeah, I wrote it in the schedule wrong because I'm an idiot.
Man, I said 3-1 and then I saw it here. And yeah. Anyway.
I'm dumb.
Oh, well. But they did win against Panama, so I don't know who they're playing next.
Cuba, I believe. I don't know when, though.
All right.
Shortly.
It should be very soon. So let's get into some of our listener questions. So this week, what did we ask him?
We asked... Just a second. Technical difficulties. Okay. We asked, if Mark DeSantos takes someone with him to the MLS, who do you think it would be and why?
Okay, so Mark Lapointe, who's at Keek 16, says, Richter. Still at a good age, some MLS experience, North American, steady backup who could fill in when needed and not be a big downgrade.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, can't argue with that statement. No. Who's next?
Matthew Hawkins at mhawkin2. Most likely Morrow, young player that fits Sporting Kansas City mold. Others might be good enough, but their MLS history plus KC focus on future. Why?
Is why, yeah.
Is why.
He's just trying to save on characters as you do on Twitter.
Yeah, fair enough.
And he's Portuguese, Canadian, just like DeSantis. So, you know, if this was like Ultimate Team on FIFA, they'd have great chemistry.
The only problem with that is that Mara would be
an international
spot. Yeah, so does Sporting Kansas City want to? I mean, he's a good player and he's very talented. And he's got lots of potential, but does a team like Sporting Kansas City want to put one of their international spots on Morrow?
And Ryan, who's at Cox on Twitter, says, Section W, best fans in the world. Well, I've got news for you, Ryan. I ain't going nowhere. Especially not to Kansas.
No.
You know, if it was California, maybe.
They have tornadoes in Kansas.
Yeah, it's dangerous. I saw Twister, and that was a documentary, so.
Mm-hmm. And OIT question bot answers, Rafa Alves, MLS defending is... And then in emoticons, it looks like dog and some kind of chocolate soft serve ice cream.
And how many of those are there?
Probably 48.
Well, as we've learned a couple episodes ago, a blogsmith, when he wakes up in the morning and he isn't feeling right, he does brush his teeth with mayonnaise. So that's why he's mistaking the poop icon.
Oh, that's poop.
With ice cream.
Why does it have a face? Why does poop have a face?
When does ice cream have a face?
Fair enough.
Anyway, back to the
sprinkles.
Back to the response. Rafa Alves, yeah, man. I mean, he hasn't been sticking out much, but that's because we're winning every game, and like he's not making any mistakes, and he's just solid.
He hasn't scored in a few games. It's not really his deal. But yeah, I mean, when a defender doesn't stick out, that's good. That's what you want.
Yeah, man. All right, so then we also asked you guys if you had any questions for us. And Mark Lapointe got in touch with us again, and he says, is it a good idea to be signing players to new deals with a new coach coming in who may want his own? Says to me, in-house new coach. Okay, so we sort of addressed this. Like I was saying, like, what's the problem? You know, like, we should sign these players. But what he's saying is they probably already have someone lined up who's already in the know.
It's very possible, yeah.
It's possible. But I think it's great that we don't have this discussion going on right now. You know,
yes.
I don't care right now who's going to be there after DeSantos. I want to focus on this run in the NASL and, you know, hopefully host the final and then we can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Martin Burt at OVTC6. Question for you. Who do you fear meeting in the semifinal? For me, it's the Loons. I want to avoid.
Yeah. Actually, Martin Bird is kind of my favorite listener in the world because not only did he leave an iTunes review, but he also said hi to us at the game.
It's very solid.
Yeah. So thank you, Martin, for all your contributions. Who do we fear the most? So for me, it's between the Cosmos and, like you said, the Loons.
Well, at Give Me My Jetpack answered Martin Bird and said, no question, it's the Loons.
Yeah, I mean... The way things are standing right now, it's quite possibly that seat 4 will neither be the Loons nor the Cosmos, and it's quite possible that we'll be in the number 1 seed. So we might be facing the Strikers, the Eddies, Tampa, or Atlanta. Am I missing one? That's a pretty
Fort Lauderdale.
I mentioned those, the strikers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much everyone. Atlanta, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd rather face any of those than the Cosmos or the Loons.
I'm not too high on the Cosmos right now. They're not having doing too well.
Yeah, but they the don't Loons have for sure. To, right? Like, you don't know how good the Cosmos are going to be if they actually turn it on, right?
The Loons, definitely. But the problem is, if we do come in that first spot, that we are going to be playing a team that's, you know, on in good form. Not that we haven't been in good form, but you're, just the way it's set up now, it's so tight that a team's going to have to win three out of their last next four games to win it. So you're gonna face that team that's in form.
Whoever it is, we got to win the last two playoff games. So. Doesn't matter. If we don't, you know, face the Loons in the semis, we might face them in the final or the Cosmos. So, but yeah, we want to make the final. Yeah. So
saving grace is that if it's Tampa or any of the Florida teams, they're going to have to come up here in November and play.
Yeah. So just again, to reiterate, how do you pronounce that?
Reiterate.
The two postseason games will be the first two weekends of November. So I think Sunday is actually November 1st, but I'm not including that one. It's the two weekends after that. Craig also wants to know, who are the known signed OFFC players for 2016? Who of the recent striker acquisitions would we expect to retain? So let's keep that first question to the side, because we went into detail on that last episode. So Craig, please go back and listen to episode 54 where we address this.
Although, to kind of fix it, Alves isn't signed. Richter is signed. So it's Richter, Trafford. Who's the other guy?
Falvey.
They're signed. Mm-hmm. Ryan Richter signed. Not Ryan Richter, Richie Ryan signed.
Yeah.
And that's all I know.
All right. But which players are we expecting to retain for the strikers? So I would be quite surprised if we would keep that German Turkish dude, because he's an international player and he hasn't been able to get any minutes. I mean, he was unlucky a little bit with injuries and stuff, mm-hmm. but you know, it's still, he's been here for a few months and he still hasn't proved himself. So, and Ali Hassan doesn't take away international roster spots.
And he's done quite well when played.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Al Bayrak. Yeah, he takes up an international spot. He's not really fighting for a starting spot, so you can't keep those guys around, unfortunately. I mean, maybe the new coach comes in and sees something that Marcus Santos doesn't see right now, but I wouldn't expect him back next year.
Absolutely. So let's make a big jump and let's look at some NASL news this year. This week, of course. What's going on? Oh yeah, the big conference that everybody's talking about ended. And what came out of that? The Board of Governors meetings. Well, we got a new NASL Board of Governor, Frisch, the same guy that owns the Jacksonville. But other than that, nothing really, right?
No news. not a huge surprise.
Really? I was hoping expansion something.
Yeah, I think with expansion you kind of want to, I don't think they would have announced it there. I think they want to kind of organize something and announce something on their time mm-hmm. in their city.
And also maybe like in the off season when there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. Or right before the Soccer Bowl when there's a lot more attention on the NASL. But yeah, I mean, Atlanta's still in the air. Carolina ownership's kind of still in the air. There were, I think, I believe, four teams or four cities who presented for an expansion bid. So yeah, there should be some news coming out eventually, but nothing at the Board of Governors meeting that ended.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh yeah, we should mention from a Canucks abroad perspective that Nana Atakora, who plays for San Antonio, he plays in defense. He got nominated for the Canadian men's national team for their upcoming friendly against Ghana. That's going to be tough. All right, let's take a look at the results. On Wednesday, Tampa Bay Rowdies, who, by the way, we play next, tied Indy 11-1-1 at home, which is great for the Fury and actually great for a Canadian Cousins FC Edmonton as well. The Tampa dropped points. Yeah, that was a must-win game for them. I can't believe that they tied.
Yeah, that's one of those games you're going to look back and go, if we didn't qualify for the playoffs, that's why.
Yeah. 4,700 people came out, which is pretty good attendance.
For midweek. For
midweek, yeah.
And then on Saturday, Jacksonville and Indy tied 1-1.
Yeah, it was good attendance.
Mm-hmm. And a game that no one really gave a crap about.
That's true, but that new Haitian signing for Jacksonville, Jerome Mechak or whatever, he got a red.
Oh. Maybe he's trying to get on the Scorpions' side next year.
And then Tampa Bay lost against Minnesota United. This was probably expected because they played in Minnesota. Would have been better for us had Minnesota lost, but you know, Tampa falling behind is still good for us.
I did watch this game kind of in the background. I thought Tampa Bay was, I think, largely a better side until, you know, that Ben Sweat red card.
Was that a deserved red? or what?
It was a second yellow. It was pretty deserved. I don't think there was any question. I don't remember seeing the first incident of the card, but his second card was definitely. And then, Christian Ramirez scored shortly after, and that was pretty much game. Probably they could have got something out if it wasn't for the red card, but it was definitely the turning point.
Tampa really is in free fall. 3 wins, 3 draws, and 9 losses so far in the fall. And you know that they're still even up there is only thanks to their spring season record.
I mean, at the start of the fall season, they were, I believe, second, like right behind the Cosmo. And yeah, they just fell the wrong in firing, which we'll touch on later. Yeah, just free fall.
Yeah.
The opposite, the anti-Ottawa.
Yeah. But speaking of free-falling, San Antonio Scorpions, the champion of last year, lost 4-2 at home to the Fort Lauderdale Strikers in front of almost 8,000 fans, which is pretty good attendance given the fact that, you know, they're totally out of it. Seems like it was a pretty amazing game, especially for Stefano Pino, who scored 3. And I just learned that this guy wasn't even a striker, eh? Apparently the Austrian coach, Kronsteiner, was just like, I'm going to see if this guy can be a striker. And he sort of made him one. And he's scored like 15 goals already.
Yeah, scored the hat trick. Player of the Week this week. I think it was his third time this year he's been named Player of the Week.
Although he doesn't score, like, it's not like he scores every game. But when he does score, he scores in buckets. You know, it's... Yeah, he's only scored in 9 matches, but 15 goals. So, did you see that goal by Chris Tirpak from San Antonio?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man, it's like from 40 yards out, and it's one of those, like, it's almost like a half volley, and it just goes up, like, in the perfect projectile motion and, like, lands in the top corner of the match. Like, even the official Twitter account from San Antonio was like, yeah, Tirpak scored a screamer tonight, but unfortunately it wasn't enough to win the game. But that was the main talking point because it was an insane goal. No reds for San Antonio.
Well, again, two games in a row. Keep it up, boys.
And then Sunday we played, of course, and New York Cosmos wrapped things up against Atlanta, and they only tied 1-1.
Yeah, in front of 3,300 fans.
Abysmal attendance. Yeah. Just NASL's flagship product in New York City, the most concentrated amount of people in North America. Well, that's probably stretched because Mexico City is in North America, but in the United States.
Yeah, they're really hurting without that, without any news of any stadium.
Yeah.
And now.
And they didn't even score, right? It was an own goal from Simon Mensing.
Yeah, he's been actually really played really well this year, and it's probably one of the reasons Atlanta's doing so well, despite their, you know, their low salary restrictions. And now Cosmos, it's 4 matches in a row without a win. Kind of falling out of it. It's
Huge, huge point for Atlanta, because this means they're still in it.
Mm.
So Carolina had the bye week, which means that for the first 7-day stretch since mid-July, Carolina has not lost. I stole this point from I think it's Northern Pitch. You know, who does those power rankings? Is that Northern Pitch? Yeah, those are a really good read. I highly recommend those.
Yeah, those are really good. There's a lot of good writers on there.
Absolutely. So let's take a look at the table. So in the fall, we're still 5 points ahead of Minnesota. We have a slightly better goal difference.
Six goals is... We have 4 games left. 6 goals is, I think, pretty good. I think that almost gives us almost a six-point lead. I think two wins out of the next four probably guarantees us the fall. 7 points will definitely guarantee the fall.
Yeah, so next week after we know the results and with only 3 left, I think then we can start doing some calculating and going over the seed system a little bit more. But let's leave that aside for now. Edmonton in third. But for Edmonton, all that really matters is the combined table at this point, right?
Yeah, even 12 points behind, it's pretty much done for them for the fall. As with everybody else, it's just now Minnesota Fury fighting for the fall table.
And freaking Minnesota is not dropping any points lately. It's really annoying.
No, they got all these home games and they got an away game, but it's against Indy. It's like, we just got to keep winning.
Yep.
And combined, we have a two point lead over Minnesota, 4 point lead over New York. Yeah, slight goal difference. But what we just really need to win the fall. Not worry about the combined.
Absolutely. Even though it would be nice to take both.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what we're going to do next is something similar to what we did last week, and which we generally got pretty positive feedback for. In fact, who was it that got in touch with us?
Martin Burt commented after the show to us on Twitter. He said, "Great show this week. Love the chat with the Eddie's Pod guys. Hope you can do more of these."
Well, you're in luck, Martin, because we are going to do more of these. This week, we're going to do the podcast preview with the Tampa Bay Rowdy-specific podcaster called Unused Substitutes. And they can be found on Twitter by the same name. So if we manage to roll the music, you're going to hear the music now. And then after, you're going to hear the our preview of the next game.
This music is just a break music. And then you'll hear... We hope. And then...
And then after Blogs, we'll say toodles. Not now.
Yeah. Not now.
Good.
Wait for it. It's a good round talk discussion we have.
Enjoy. Welcome back, guys. It's Ours is the Fury with the Unused Substitutes podcast, who are a Tampa Bay Rowdy-specific NASL podcast. So we're doing something similar as we did with the Edmonton podcast last week, sort of like a preview of our next game / roundtable. We're going to ask each other questions. So hello, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. So, this is John and Tim from Ours is the Fury.
All right, this is Matt.
And this is Dan.
How do you guys feel after your two last results?
I don't know. I'm still trying to process the last week because we just got through with that 3 games in 8 day swing, and we ended up with a loss, a draw, and a loss. And the draw really felt like a loss, too. So I'm feeling about as good as this beer is helping me feel right now.
Yeah. Well, this is our second season, so we do know what it feels like to be shitty last year. But Tampa Bay Rowdy, they're supposed to be better than the current table reflects, for sure.
We would sure like to think so, but it hasn't been manifesting itself as of late.
So what's your guys' opinion on the whole Rongan firing?
I mean... I don't know. He used to come on the show every week, and we got a chance to talk to him. And he was a nice guy, and you know, was very open and shared a lot of information. And I can see wanting to make the change. And this is my personal opinion. I can see wanting to make the change because of the little burp and results we were having, but we were still in the top four combined. And I thought it was an awkward time to do it 2 days before a game against Minnesota. I like Stu. You know, when we changed coaches at the end of last year, I wouldn't have been adverse to Stu coming in, taking over. So I don't mind him coming in now. But, you know, to me, at least, it's looking more and more like I don't know if coaching was the actual problem, because we're still not getting the consistent results. We're still having the same problems on the road and finishing chances and in some cases creating chances. But I don't know. I don't know if it was the right move or not, but it's not our money, I guess.
No, but, you know, from an outside perspective, Thomas Rongen is someone that's so likable. Like, everybody in the small NASL community that we are absolutely loved him, right? You know, his presence on Twitter alone and like his bow tie and everything. So,
oh yeah, and absolutely worth the price of admission there. And you know, kind of brought like a, you know, him and Farouk coming back kind of brought like a level of, I want to say like, I don't know, yeah, legitimacy, like a certain status that it was like, okay, here's some guys with some experience around and have done some things and won some things. And it's, I don't know. I don't know where we're going from here, but we'll find out.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, like that statement that your owner released, like I think it was like a little video clip where he was just like, you know, as an owner, I need to see results. And like it was just like everyone thought he was such a moron, right? Because like it's just. Yeah,
that I thought was kind of ill-advised. I don't know if that was off the cuff or if that was rehearsed at all, but
yeah, it's just like, what the fuck? Anyway,
yeah, that's been a sore spot for a couple weeks now.
So what is the tangible results on the field change since the coaching change?
Well, I mean, we're still we said what, 3 wins now?
I think so, yeah.
A couple draws, a couple losses. I mean, it's still up and down. We haven't put together back-to-back wins yet. We still haven't won another game on the road yet. Overall, the results haven't really been too different. We've seen some different lineups come in, some different players get a chance, and now that we got some guys back from injury getting on the field. But overall, I mean, it hasn't looked a whole lot different to me with the final results.
Yeah. So look, I'm just looking at like who you guys have left to play compared to the other teams that are still in contention. So you probably have one of the more easier run-ins, I would say. Like the Silverbacks definitely have the worst because they play Cosmos, you guys in Minnesota, and Ottawa. So, although three of them are home, but still.
Oh, no, Dan was explaining to me on Friday night how we're going to win our last 4 games. So I'm clinging to that belief for right now. Yeah, I think Fort Lauderdale probably has a little bit easier in the end. For us, I think it kind of depends on what New York ends up doing, because if they can lock up, you know, the first or second spot, we play them in the last game of the year. They might roll out their B or C team again, and we might be able to do something with that. But you know, then now they're starting to hit a little bump in the road too. So who knows?
Yeah, and Fort Lauderdale, they do have that game in hand, so they have one extra game. But besides Minnesota United, they're playing Carolina, San Antonio, Indy, and Jacksonville. So that's not exactly top class there.
Not quite the murderer's row.
No. All right, so what else can we expect from you guys? Will we see Freddy Adu?
Yeah, I think so. He'd been on the bench the last couple of weeks. He's started the last 2 games, I believe. So yeah, I think we're gonna see him. He looks. We brought one back, one of our former players, Long Tan, who was here the first season we came back. We brought him in after his USL season ended, and they seem to have kind of struck up a connection so far and have worked pretty well together. So I think we'll see Freddie from here on out, barring an injury or something like that.
Cool. Yeah, we're excited to see him. I've only seen some glimpses from him. I know the first game that he I think he was subbed in on, he had an assist or something for you guys and looked pretty good.
Yeah, but he comes in a few minutes and gets an assist in a game we were trying to claw our way back into, but didn't manage to do it. And the last game was the Jacksonville game. He looked pretty good, but he didn't get a lot of help around him. Then the trying to think, what was the who we play after? It was Indy. Yeah, Indy, he looked pretty good. Well, I mean, as far as you know, I'm thinking of the San Antonio game where he was the hardest working guy out there.
That was Indy.
Was that the Indy game? Okay. the midweek one. Yeah, so I mean, he's still out there trying to do something, whether it's winning another contract here for next year or win a contract somewhere else, who knows? But hopefully it'll pay off for us.
Absolutely. So you guys have any questions for us?
There wasn't a big change really. It didn't seem like, you know, especially playing wise or player wise between last season and this season. And if I remember right, you guys got off to kind of a rough start in the spring. What's been the difference between this great run of form you've been on lately?
Well, we kept the players that were playing well, but we improved in a couple things. We improved a lot. So, for example, our center back pairing is completely new. Alves and Falvey. And then, you know, we brought in Pizer mid-season last year, and, you know, it was really big for us that we could hold on to him because he's probably the best keeper in the league. And we just started clicking better collectively, and we don't rely on just one person scoring our goals. Like, everyone's working together. You know, it's as stereotypical as it sounds. We're just working great as a team. Everyone's defending. Like, if you look at our wingers, like Paulo Jr., for example, like, he doesn't only create, like, he also comes back and works his ass off. And, like, everyone in the team is just working hard for each other and has that, like, winning mentality. And, you know, in the spring season, things weren't working out that great at the beginning, but we started preventing goals. I mean, like, our last five matches, we didn't concede a single goal, you know, and we only scored one too. So it was like 0-0, 1-0, 0-0, 0-0. So it's really boring to watch, but at least we had our defense sorted out. And then we started banging in those goals without really changing any personnel, just things clicking into gear. Is there anything you want to add to that, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, in the spring season, we always had the chances. We always had chances. We never put them in. I think the fall season, we stood up and we converted those chances a lot more. I think when Pizer went on his recording the clean sheet record,
right?
I think it gave the forwards a lot more confidence to move forward and stay forward, and I think that's resulted in us scoring now almost remarkably at a remarkable level.
Yeah, well, if you have any spare tips, you can leave for our guys. We'll take it. And if I saw correctly, you guys you're gonna have a coaching change coming up at the end of the season.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mark Dos Santos announced that he would leave. Now, we all knew that this was going to happen because the guy is just quality. Like, he's good with the media. He's like the players respect him. He has an amazing track record already. Like, he was really successful with the Impact here in Montreal, not too far from us. He was also successful in Brazil, working with development squads over there. And, you know, he's an ambitious guy. So we knew that he would leave, but we're a little bit disappointed that, you know, that he might be an assistant coach at Sporting Kansas. Like, we think he could do better. Like, if he does have to go to the MLS, we were hoping at least he'd be the head coach.
Yeah.
Right, right. Any ideas who might be coming in to replace him or anything?
Yeah, no, like, that's not really anything that anybody's talking about here. We're just all pumped that, you know, we're going to be in the playoffs or the postseason. And we're looking forward to the semifinal, and hopefully that we're going to host it. And, you know, like, we're not really looking beyond that right now.
Okay, all right. And did I see something? There was an incident with security at the game the other day.
Oh yeah, some smoke went off in our section. We do have like smoke provided by the club, but sometimes, you know, supporters will bring in their own smoke, and security doesn't like that, and we don't know who it was. They don't know who it was. So then they came in later for like some stupid reason. They said that, you know, one of the people that stands with us was spilling beer on somebody, which happens like literally every 5 minutes in the supported section. So
yeah, I know that.
Yeah, nothing too big to worry about. It's just, you know, one of those security guys thinking he's a cop or something.
Right. All right. Well, if you guys ever get down here, let us know. We'll buy you some beer, and if you spill it, we won't tell anybody.
That's awesome, man.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, let's talk lineups here for a second. So for the Ottawa Fury, you always know what you're going to expect. We always have the same defensive four. You know, we have Falvez and Alves as our center backs, Trafford on the left, Richter on the right, Pizer in goal. We have Richie Ryan in midfield, Ubi Paropovic most likely, Heinemann up front. And then there's a little bit rotation with our wingers, and we're never quite sure who's going to be the third guy in the midfield, and we play 4-3-3. Now, with Tampa, I think you guys are rotating a little bit more, but do you know like who we can expect?
The only real change you'll see is Sweat got that red card against Minnesota, so you'll probably see Balchin on the left and King slot back down to the right back. And Benjavar is going to be on international duty, so midfield is going to look a little different, but you'll probably see Juan Guerra, Saragossa, and probably Chavez again in those midfield roles, with, I would assume, Adu slotting back into a wing spot and Christoph back in as a forward, as long can up top. I think, am I forgetting another a position there? Because I think, and yeah, let me see. Probably your back line will be Balchin, Stefan, Tam, and King, and then Adu, Guerra, Saragossa, Chavez, and then Christoff and Tan up top is probably likely what you'll see. Stuart
is Brian Shriver a fit?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, he'll probably come in as a sub on the wing if either him or Herzog, Corey Herzog.
Okay.
You might see Herzog or Shriver on that other wing instead of Chavez, since we'll be at home.
Because Shriver always played pretty well against us in the past, and like we kind of view him as being a little bit underrated. Like, we actually think he's a great player.
He's a great player, but I don't think last year under our last coach, he was just not used, and or used incorrectly. And I think with the influx of talent, he hasn't been able to be able to prove himself. He's been very inconsistent for us as well. But I love him as a player. He's a former Golden Boot winner I believe is in the top five in modern NASL scoring.
All righty. All right. I mean, that pretty much sums it up. Shows everyone what we can expect from you guys and from us, unless there's anything else you guys want to add.
No, I think we're good.
I'm just going to tell people like where they can reach us, and then you can do the same.
All right, go ahead.
So ours is The Fury, is a podcast that can be reached on your favorite podcatcher, whether it's on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. We're all over the place. We have a Twitter account, which is OITFury. We have an email address, which is oursisthefurypodcast@gmail.com. And we have a Facebook account as well.
All right. And we're on Twitter at UnusedSubsPod. And we're on Facebook and Periscope and Instagram, all with the same one. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Pretty much all. I think everything is Unused SubsPod.
All right, perfect. All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Subs.com.
All right, perfect, guys. Thanks so much.
No problem. Good talking to you guys. I hope you guys have a good weekend, but not too good of a one.
Yeah, well, best of luck, guys, you know, with the exception of your next game.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
Yeah.
You have a good night.
Bye now.
All right, see ya.
All right. So with that final segment there, that's the conclusion of the podcast. So now you finally get to say what you always want to say, Blogsmith.
Toodles.
That's right. And where can people find us?
At Twitter, at OITFury. Or they can email us at oursisafurypodcast.com.
No, at gmail.com.
Screw that up. On Facebook. And we should totally say that the game is next Saturday at 7.
Yes.
Which we didn't mention before.
And let us know how you guys like the segment with the unused substitutes, and if it's something you want us to do again.
Let us know how we recorded. Are you hearing us right now? If not, then you're awesome.
If there are any technical issues, please address your complaint to @COXON. All right, then. With that, see you guys next week.
See you guys. Is this recording?
I don't know. Did you press that button there?
Someone's moving. I don't know if it's recording yet. Get Ryan on phone.
Okay. 1 second.
Yeah, I don't.
Ryan, what's that?
No, it's recording. It's recording. Hang on, Ryan. Okay, we got a podcast to do, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. What an idiot.